Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Season 2 of The L Word, Generation Q, begins Sunday night on Showtime. Will this season open new scripted doors for the lesbian and gay communities? Well, our lead guest answers in the affirmative. Executive producer and showrunner Marja Lewis-Ryan, she joins me next. 40 years ago this month, MTV Music Television was born. 40 years later, MTV is hanging on for viewers, any viewers. Is there any way to make this channel great again? We'll showcase a bunch of ways later this hour. Also ahead, El Rey rides again, and full steam ahead for the fourth season of Stranger Things. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on Amazon Music, Verbal, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, and Apple Podcasts. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audible.com/televised. More details later in the program. 87 degrees is top of the hour here in the Big Apple, and on this Friday afternoon, we welcome you to the third of three episodes kicking off year 15 of the program about TV's current and future. Great to have you all aboard. If you have questions and comments for our guests ahead over the next hour, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us, across the country or around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. Another way you get involved is our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find that at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions of Disney Live with you. Marja Lewis-Ryan from the L Word, Generation Q, joins me here in the Big Apple after these news notes. Independent filmmaker Robert Rodriguez is launching a TV comeback by a new version of El Rey Network. The service carried on cable and satellite from 2013 to the end of last year is now available through smart TV sets, devices, and multi-network bundles. Cinedigm is arranging carriage of El Rey and will seek ad support. El Rey will again mix film, scripted and unscripted series put together by Rodriguez and other Latino talent, all in English. Factory Made Ventures returns as co-backer. Univision, which had an equity stake for most of El Rey's linear run, will not. Netflix made an official declaration this afternoon that season 4 of Stranger Things will run next year. However, the exact 2022 release date was not announced. The most recent season of Netflix Emmy-winning series Unspooled more than 2 years ago. NBC will reunite its 2018 closing ceremony trio at the Winter Olympics for Sunday's Summer Games finale in Tokyo. Terry Gannon, Tara Lipinski, and Johnny Weir will do the honors, following a Tokyo Gold special with broadcast primetime host Mike Tirico. NBC's Sunday night closing ceremony will be tape delay. Peacock will carry it live Sunday at 7 a.m. Eastern Time with Tokyo Live co-hosts Matt Eisman and Akbar Jamralia on site. Matt, by the way, was on our program 2 weeks ago. Now some quickies before our guests. Dear White People creator Justin Simien will switch his program development allegiance from Lionsgate to Viacom, CBS, and Paramount TV Studios unit. Netflix will play Dear White's final season this fall. Sci-fi will move forward with Reginald the Vampire, a series adaptation of the popular Fat Vampire books. And Disney Plus will premiere a new nature series, Growing Up Animal, on August 18th. And that is news notes for today. Now joining me here in the Big Apple, the executive producer and showrunner of the L Word, Generation Q, premiering Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on Showtime, Marja Lewis-Ryan. Marja, congratulations. Welcome to our program.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Same here. And I understand that we are both Brooklynites. And, in fact, you are here in our borough to see a very special person of your family.
That's right. My grandmother is 91 years old. And, you know, she had a really good run. And she wants to say goodbye to her 6 favorite grandkids. So we all came in and just rallied around Grandma. It was a pretty special afternoon.
Well, great to go. And we wish you and your family the very, very best. So with the sophomore season of The L Word, what do you and your colleagues want to do? How do you want to expand what the show is doing?
Oh, man. There's so much that I want to do on that show. But the main thing that I really focused on this season was really making sure that my voice was coming through. I think one of the challenges of rebooting a series, especially a beloved series, a series that I loved, I was 18 when the original series came out. So it meant a lot to me. The idea that somebody comes up to you and says, I want your version of this show is a very strange thing to sort of step into. And I think it took me a minute to, like, buy into the idea that people really wanted my version of this thing. I think season 1, we were sort of 1 foot in the past, 1 foot in the present, and season 2 feels like we're finally where I dreamed we would be. I'm just really proud of how grounded it is. I'm really proud of how fun it is. I'm really, really excited about what it looks like. Because of the pandemic, we got to make these like really significant adjustments to the aesthetic of the show. I got to go handheld. I got to go lamp lit. And I'm just really excited for the world to see this version.
Mm-hmm. I understand we have a phone call coming in. We'll get to it in a moment. But first, when you are working alongside the creator of the L Word, Eileen Chaykin, when you're working alongside three of the original stars who are back for season two, Jennifer Beals, Catherine Moaning, Leisha Haley, they're all executive producers with you, and other people who are also executive producing, how do you not only get your voice out in what goes on the screen, but their voice out too?
Well, I think that it's really about buying in. I mean, I think they all buy into my vision. They all buy into my version of this show, and they're all just standing so firmly behind me, beside me, and they really just champion my voice. So I think that's how you do it. I think that television that's successful, that these in modern television that is successful, really is a singular voice, and I feel like season two really is my show.
All right, let's take a call and let's hear what happens. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Hello. All right, we'll try again in a little bit, so hang on there. We'll see if we can get you aboard in just a couple of minutes or two. What is the major plot line that all the characters or most of the characters are dealing with in season two?
I mean, that's the tricky thing about writing the show is that there really isn't a story forward sort of element to the show. It is very, very, very character driven. So, I mean, what I wanted to explore this season was really new love. Most of the characters are finding love in new partners for the very first time. They're getting really serious about relationships, and I wanted to really capture that feeling when you're falling in love. And, like, you kind of can't stop the roller coaster. That's sort of the feeling, the vibe that I was really, like, running toward. And I think it was I hope that people can watch it and experience what the characters are experiencing, which is that just that breath right before you decide to take the plunge.
Mm-hmm. Was there a particular character or characters that you wanted to showcase that expression, that ecstasy, if you will, more than others?
Well, there were some characters that, like, I'm particularly excited about. I'm, you know, the show has always been about representation. I mean, beyond the fact that it's, you know, a soap opera that should sort of stand on its own merit, I also think that we are kind of known for getting faces and people on screen that you don't normally see, and, like, you don't normally see characters disabled queer characters on television. So the idea that I could elevate Jillian Mercado's character, and she plays one of the main character's sisters, and, like, really put her in a love situation is one of, like, you know, the greatest feelings ever, to really give kids who are, you know, wheelchair users the opportunity to see themselves on television is, like, that opportunity is not lost on me.
All right, let's see if we have that call now, and let's go for it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Go right ahead. You're on the air. Hey, hello.
They're shy.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. We have that poll on. All right, hang up one second. Let me just see.
Okay.
Do we have that person? Go ahead. You're on the air. I guess not. Okay. Well, if you are trying to get through, give the call right now, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name, our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Joining me here in BKLYN is Marjorie Lewis Ryan. She's the executive producer and showrunner of season two of The L Word, Generation Q. The first episode starts this Sunday night, 10 p.m. Pacific time on Showtime, available on cable and satellite. And then later on, as the fall gets going, it will move to Monday night at 9. So after the first five episodes, it will then go to Monday night at 9 p.m., and the series will end on October 11th. So that is going your way. Coming up Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we kick off week two of our 15th year. We'll talk about the Olympics, which are wrapping up on NBC, the networks of NBC Universal, this Sunday night. We'll talk about what they did and what they didn't do, and we'll also discuss the future of Olympic television. We want to hear from you, too, as well. And coming up Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, 1 week from today, we'll either be on for 1 hour or 2 hours, either starting at 3 or 4 p.m. Eastern time. Already set to go in our 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time hour, we will have first, from the brand-new Star series, Heels, about the world of wrestling, we'll have executive producer and one of the main directors, Peter Siegel. And then a very special guest to wrap the show up, the son of the creator of Star Trek, Rod Roddenberry, the son of Gene Roddenberry. Next week, by the way, is the 100th anniversary of the birth of that incredible creator who created one of the great television series, not just of a genre, but of all time. And we'll find out from Rod, who also heads the company Roddenberry Entertainment, whether some of Gene's work that did not make it past the pilot stage will at some point become a television series, and where. So join us for a very special interview with Gene Roddenberry's son, Rod Roddenberry, 1 week from today, either 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. Eastern time, noon to 1 p.m. Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Marjorie, what's it been like for you to work with Irene, given that this has been her baby from the get-go? It's sort of like a coming home for her. How is the relationship with Eileen? And also, what does she think about what you're doing? What is she? What kind of coaching or what kind of mentorship, in a way, is she giving you?
Yeah, I mean, so Eileen and I met a while back. We were both actually writing on the same feature over at TriStar, and we got to work together for like a week. And we just really liked each other. I think when she sees another, like, lesbian, I was, like, probably 28 or something when we met. You know, I'm here because of her, no doubt about it. I mean, we all are, actually. We all are kind of here because of her. And just getting to do the job season one was such a privilege, and she was around quite a bit for me to call, and, you know, anytime I thought that I had, you know, messed it all up, she was there to sort of pick me back up. Season two was quite different. You know, she's got this huge show over on NBC. She's running Dick Wolf. You know, she created a new show with Dick Wolf. She's running Law and Order Organized Crime. And I was really on my own and could kind of fly on my own. And, I mean, just the amount of trust that she puts in me and the amount of faith that she has in me is incredible. I picked up the phone the other day and called her and just thanked her again for the job, you know. And, you know, she's always just the first person to say that she's glad that I'm here doing it. And that means everything to me. You know, I mean, it is her baby, and there will always be, it will always be, you know. I think that, like, in all the ways that it is my show, it'll always be her. She put her stamp on it first. But I do think she's interested in my perspective, and I have always felt that way from her. I've felt really supported. And I think that's really, like, the, not to get too corny, but that actually is the best part of our job, is being able to, like, you know, look over our shoulder, pull somebody else up, and just kind of widen the stretch that we have, like, as women, as queer people in this business. She's been an awesome mentor for me.
How did the pandemic impact not only the way this season was produced, but also the storylines, the character relationships?
Yeah.
And just,
yeah,
dealing,
sure,
with this pandemic, especially in a hotbed like L.A.?
Yeah, sure. I mean, great question. We were not the first show to go back. I was, like, very cautious. But one of the main ways that we adjusted story was to really limit the number of guest stars. But what that did for us as a soap was kind of fun, you know. It sort of forced us to, like, look inside of our own cast and really find conflict internally rather than trying to inject somebody else in to sort of, like, spiral their lives out of control. It ended up being really fun for us to try to figure out, like, you know, who can hook up with who, and then how do we break them up so that she can get to the real person that we really want her to date? You know, it's just like all of those sort of, like, fun soapy elements were even sort of intensified because we really only had these 9 people to work with. So that was a huge part of how it affected story. And also, like, the part of grounding the show to me was, like, really having those conversations among friends that we all do, like, when you're starting to date somebody or when you're breaking up with somebody, those sort of, like, unpacking moments became a huge part of season two because we were so limited in where we could shoot. Last season, we were, like, a 10-day show. Usually we were, like, 6 or 7 days out. which means, you know, like we're shooting on location 6 or 7 days, and then we're, you know, like 3 to 4 days on set. And we basically had to flip that ratio this season just to achieve, just to pull off the show. We also went from like 14 to 16 hour days season one, and now we were down to like 10, 11 hour days in season two, which is a huge difference. And I loved it. I loved everything about it. I think it made us smarter. I think it made us more economical, both in the production side, but also on the story side. It was like everything we shot had to be on screen because we didn't have room. We didn't have room for error anymore. And I think that like that kind of sandbox was helpful. It was like a helpful container for me to play inside.
There's a very interesting, Marjorie, by the way, there's a very interesting guest in your sandbox with season two. You got Rosie O'Donnell, you got Donald Faison, you got Griffin Dunn, you got Vanessa Williams. Those are
Can you imagine a greater set of heavyweights to come on the L-Word? I mean, that is like really honoring the original too. I mean, the original series had incredible guest stars. Like everybody was on that show. And what's fun about having this show is that we have real fans inside of like the queer community. So Rosie O'Donnell was watching, you know, that's why we were able to ask her, is because we know for a fact that she watched the first season, because she would slip into people's DMs and be like, I liked that episode. And so once I heard that she was watching it, I was like, oh, I'm getting her. She's coming on this show.
And she said yes in a heartbeat, and, you know, in the middle of a
pandemic, because she was like, because she's a big fan, you know. Griffin was great. I mean, he's known Jennifer for a long time. He wanted to come and play with her. Donald Faison, I mean, like, those were like the strange sort of like silver linings of this pandemic, was that like Donald Faison lives in LA. He's got like 6 kids or something. He wasn't going to go anywhere. You know, he's not going to leave his family in the middle of a pandemic, but like we could offer him a job like down the block. You just have to come and shoot on this stage. He was like, sure. You know, he's like, totally, I'm in. And he was just a blast. I mean, he's so fun. He like kept people's spirits up. He would perform stand-up for our crew between setups, you know? I mean, just, like, that kind of energy that you really want in a situation that, like, could have been really, really challenging. I mean, it was really challenging. It's hard to communicate with 2 masks and a face shield
on every single person
and 6 feet apart. I mean, it's hard. That is hard. But I really felt like we had a cast and a crew that was, like, really down to keep each other safe.
To make this happen, you know?
I mean, people's lives are on the line on both sides. Like, people need jobs and they need to be safe, and we were able to pull that off, and I'm so, so proud of that.
We are hearing Marjorie Lewis Ryan. She is the executive producer and showrunner of the second season of The L Word, Generation Q. Season 2 begins this Sunday night, August 8th, 10:30 Pacific time on Showtime. First 5 episodes will be in that time period. Then it moves to Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, an hour earlier than the Sunday night program. So make sure you know about that. And that will be the case until it wraps up in October. And Marjorie joins me here in Nueva York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Wherever you are, we're happy you're with us, too. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New York, 87 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment on our Many Minutes with Marjorie, give us a call, 646-652-2906. We use the chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Coming up on our next half hour, believe it or not, it was 40 years ago this week that MTV, music television, got going. It's still around 40 years later, but nowhere near what it used to be or the impact it's had on our culture and on our television. So what can be done to make MTV great again? I got some ideas. I want to hear yours. So get on the phone, get in the chat room, and we'll talk about all of that in our next half hour. Marja, Showtime has been one of the forerunners in terms of presenting scripted series about the gay and lesbian community and related communities. Remember many years ago, Queer as Folk, the Russell T. Davies British series that was so remarkable when it came out years ago, got an American version through Showtime. You have L Word, of course, now Second Coming. Where are we at in terms of showcasing in scripted fashion the stories of the gay, the lesbian, transgender community?
I think that, you know, I mean, look, we've come a long way. I the first time I ever saw a queer commercial success was on The L Word. So the idea that Eileen always said that what she had thought would happen was that she would go and make that one show, and then, you know, shows by the dozens would follow. And that never really happened. You know, like, there never really was another show about a group of queer women friends. That, you know, there are more queer characters on television but we sort of populate a straight space. The thing about like this show and Queer as Folk and Pose is that it's like a very much like for us, by us vibe. And there is something powerful about that. There's something powerful about coming of age at a time when you can actually see what your future might be like. I think that that's like not to be taken lightly. I do think that we're still just not making enough content. And I think that I have a few theories as to why that might be. But one thing that I am really looking forward to doing under my overall is not just bringing queer content to the screen, but I think that the way you get queer content on screen is that you sort of shepherd in queer showrunners or queer creators. And that's what I'm so looking forward to. I'm looking forward to partnering with, some young women to, like, actually tell their stories rather than just sticking in my own lane, really use my platform to open the door to a wider berth of stories. I think that there's so many more stories out there. I think the Asian community is sorely underrepresented in the queer space. I mean, all of our BIPOC, like, brothers and sisters and folks, I mean, their stories just aren't on screen. I mean, like, Stephen Canales did a huge thing. I mean, that show was huge and so important, but, like, there just have to be more. There just have to be more storytellers like him. There have to be more storytellers that can really step inside of that experience and let the world kind of, like, peek in and see what those stories are. And I can't tell all of them, but I know that I, like, have this incredible platform to help other people tell their stories.
That incredible platform that Marge is referring to is last month getting a major program development agreement with Showtime. And you talked about it on TV's Top 5 of the Hollywood Reporter that came out earlier today. And I note that you made the same point, which is you want to use this development deal as a platform not only for yourself but to shepherd other talents in the gay, lesbian, transgender community to get involved as series creators, as producers, as directors, or as Garrett Levine suggests in the press release, to be the Shohei Ohtani, the gifted two-way player
yes,
to that community.
Yes,
how do we do that? How does the TV industry shepherd, now that you have that role, how does the shepherding process happen?
So I read everything. Lists come out all the time. I mean, Outfest has a list and Blacklist has a list. I mentor everywhere. I mentor for the Blacklist. I mentor for Tribeca Film Festival. Like I mentor for Outfest. I'll do anything to meet who's coming up because that's where I started. You know, my first movie was like the centerpiece film at Outfest, and like nobody called me to see like what I was up to. You know, like I had to like keep working. I mean, that movie came out like, gosh, what year is it? Like 11 years ago. And I just think that like they just need someone to be reading them. So I read everything. My team reads everything. And I just take meetings with people. And I just see like, what's your story? Can I help? You know, I can't tell all stories, but there are some like cross section. I'm always looking for like that intersection between me and that storyteller and just trying to figure out like, what story can we tell? And that's how I approach it. I think there's a million ways to sort of solve the problem, but I do think that having creatives who are queer creatives who don't look like me, you know, is the key. I mean, that's all it is. It's just teaching them what I know and then letting them go. It's exactly what Eileen did for me. You know, it's like you give someone an opportunity and then the opportunity is theirs to blow or make, you know, like that's fine. But I just want to do what was done for me because it wasn't just Eileen. I also have a relationship with Soloway, who's a huge part of my life. And like the fact that I had these like two queer people like telling me like, come on, come on, come on, come on, was huge. You know, that changes everything. And that they'll vouch for me. I've heard other writers, other showrunners sort of say that like our business is like a voucher. Like it's a vouching business. Somebody has to vouch for you. Somebody has to say like, I bet my career on you. And I mean, it's a huge position to stand in, but like that's my job. And then it's my job to catch them. You know what I mean? Like that's my job. It's my job. And I love it. I mean, I love the risk. I love it. It's thrilling. And it's so thrilling to get better myself and to watch other people get better too. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Speaking of Jo Soloway, it's been several years since her tremendous show, Transparent, concluded on Amazon. Do we know what's going on with Jo? Is she getting another series off the ground? What's happening with it?
Yeah, not to embarrass you, but they go by they, them, are their pronouns, and their name is Joey. So mm. Joey is writing and directing on the feature side right now. I know that for sure, and I know that they took over some really, like, big banner jobs for some other directors. I don't know if it's in the trades or not, so I'm not sure if I can say, but they've, like, really moved into a feature space, which I think is, like, exactly what I would do kind of on the other side of my overall, too.
Well, thank you for the pronoun deal, and wish you the very best.
Of course.
I hope he does television again, because Transparent was such a great show, and just like the L Word, a great groundbreaker.
Incredibly groundbreaking content, and because that's what I mean, though. It's like that's their story. Like no one can fake that, you know. And it's my job to go find the next Soloway, like to go find the next Shake, and go find the next me. And what I'm hoping to do is really open it up in terms of, like, gender identity and in terms of, racial identity. I mean, the world is still very white. Even the queer world is still very, very, very white. And I am deeply conscious of that. And, like, I really hope I could do something to help change it.
Are you close to finding that first person that you want to work with under this deal with Showtime?
Oh, yeah. I found her. Oh, I found her. We're going to go in and pitch a new show in a couple of weeks. I am just dying for it. I mean, she's just giving me new life. She's just this really young creative, and she's got this incredible story, and it's nothing like mine. And I think that, like, that's sort of what's missing from queer content is, like, what's your story and how is it unlike anything we've ever seen on television? I am so excited. I hope they buy it.
If they do, we'd love to have both of you on to talk about it. Make that a done deal.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. And if you want to catch the L Word, the first episode of season 2, here's where you go. Showtime, this Sunday night, 10 p.m. East Pacific time. The first 5 episodes of season 2 will be on in that time period. And then at the end of the month or early September, it will move with the episode number 6 of 10 to Monday night at 9 p.m. So starting off this Sunday night and Sunday nights for the next first five episodes, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific time, then Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific time. Check your locals where Showtime is available in your area on cable and satellite. More details about the promo online, go to www.sho.com. That's www.show, as in showtime.com. The L Word, Generation Q, this Sunday night, first episode of season 2, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Marjorie Lewis Ryan, thank you very, very much for coming on the program this afternoon. Congratulations to you and everybody involved for season 2, hopefully many, many more to come. And congrats on your new promo development deal. We can't wait to see what emerges from it. Hope for sure.
Thank you so much,
Simon.
It's
going to be making more groundbreaking
programming
for the game listening
community. I hope so. Thank you so much. Thanks for doing the show. Thanks for having me. And nice to talk to somebody from Brooklyn.
Same here, Margie. You got it. From one Brooklynite to another. Take care. Have a fantastic weekend.
You do the same, Simon. Bye-bye.
Margie Lewis-Ryan joining us live from BKLYN in Nueva York. More tomorrow. We televised coming your way, but first some fine words from people at Audible.com. Did you know that Stephen King has a brand new book out? An audiobook. It's called Billy Summers. It's about a very mysterious person who likes to kill people for a living, people who deserve to be killed. And then there's a crossroads that pops up in his life. That's what Billy Summers is all about. And you can hear it now if you subscribe to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment information and inspiration, too. There's over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and our various podcast destinations from Verbal to Apple Podcasts. By the way, that's 200,000-plus titles you can choose from. And all you got to do to get things going is to sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, health and wellness information while it lasts, that 1 month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Get this. If you're already an Amazon Prime member, you are in the best of luck because you get to pick 2 audiobooks for your 1 month trial, including a book from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking about the best new Audible podcast series and productions, the best in terms of regional theater, off-Broadway, and Broadway productions, and the best one-woman and one-man performances around. So how about making today the day that you find out how Audible.com can transform the way you or other people you know can transform the world? And as always, it makes a great gift any time of the year for you or someone you love. For all the details, it's audiblechild.com/televised. When we come back, how do we make MTV great again? I got a game plan, and I want to hear yours. So pick up the phone, use the chat room, and let's have a conversation. Plus, update on our classic trivia question of the week. And if we have time, we'll update you with an up segment about Johnson, the Bounce TV program where we had on Wednesday's episode, our last episode, the co-star, creator, and co-executive producer. It's all happening after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tunein.com. Together, they reach over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, today, BTR is your home for Sports Beat Radio. That's Sports Beat Radio, lots about the Olympics, Major League Baseball, pennant races heating up, all sorts of great stuff. And, of course, the National Football League preseason. That's Sports Beat Radio today, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. It's Friday afternoon, wrapping up week one of year 15 of the program about TV's current and future. Tom Abbott, I'm with you live again from New York, 87 degrees, top of the hour. And if you have a question or feedback for our upcoming segment about making MTV great again, well, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04, my name, and we really want to hear from you with this upcoming segment. Believe it or not, it is 40 years ago this week that one of the great transformations of television took place. And it started with animation of a logo with a big M on it in all sorts of different weird configurations, and a moon man on the moon planting a flag with that logo on it. And then Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles. Of course, I'm talking about the launch of MTV Music Television. And for many of us, our lives growing up in the 1980s were never the same since. MTV was the beginning of a revolution. It introduced people to a up-and-coming genre at the time in television, the music video, and it exploded on the channel that really bore its name, music television. Everything was about music. The latest music videos and the latest creativity from those videos introduced by DJs like Martha Quinn, Alan Hunter, and so forth. It turned out to be the breakout place for stars like Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston, stars like Phil Collins and Genesis, Madonna, and many, many more. Jay Giles Band, Culture Club, so many bands on both sides of the Atlantic and around the world. It was the place you wanted to be. And as the 80s went on, MTV was really, that was your channel. If you wanted to see the latest video by Madonna or by Elton John or by Billy Joel, MTV was your place to see it, the weekly premiere. One of the top 20 countdown, you went to MTV. MTV, as time went on, also created a whole lineup of original shows, all had music focus, like 120 Minutes and Headbangers Ball and MTV Unplugged and Yo MTV Raps and the game show Remote Control, still one of my favorite games. It was always a pleasure working for Cablevision Magazine in those days when I had a chance on a Friday afternoon, if it was taping day, go down and see the folks at Remote Control and chat a little bit with Ken Oberon, Colin Quinn, and Marisol, and Kari Warher, and Steve, and all the great people who did that show. And some of the people, by the way, who did Remote Control are still doing their thing today. Lauren Corral, for example, one of the producers of Remote Control, later went on to become the president of Comedy Central. So a lot of great people still around doing their thing, and Remote Control was their start, or Yo MTV Raps was their start, or 120 Minutes was their start, or Headbangers Ball was their start, or doing the Music Video Awards was their start, when it was New York-based, the Radio City Music Hall and the Palladium, no longer around on 14th Street. It was an incredible time, and it also brought out not only great talent in front of the camera, but great talent behind the camera, like David Fincher, became one of the great music video directors, and now, of course, the person put House of Cards on the map and really put Netflix on the map as a major source of original television series programming. And in the 1990s, MTV continued its hit-bound run with The Real World. It basically opened the door on the whole reality television movement. And animated shows like Darla and Aeon Flux and Liquid Television and more MTV game shows as well, like Singled Out, which, of course, brought more talent along, like Jenny McCarthy. Just amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. But in recent years, MTV has been an afterthought for a lot of people. It gets very, very few audiences. Nowhere near the audiences it had in its heyday of the 80s and 90s. And a lot of people, I wonder, what the, is MTV still around anymore? It's out of sight, out of mind. Well, I think it's time for MTV to recapture its greatness. The time has come for ViacomCBS, the parent of MTV, to get their act together and bring MTV back into the conversation for all of you. And I want to bring you a game plan about how to do it. And I want to hear from you. So what thoughts do you have about making MTV great again? Let's hear them. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And it's a six-point plan. Here's the first. Get rid of ridiculousness. Now, if you don't know what ridiculousness is, it is a show that seems to be maybe the second name of MTV Music TV these days because it seems to run 24 hours a day, morning, noon, and night. It is this America's Funniest Home Video show that really isn't funny, hosted by Rob Dyrdek with these stars or pseudo-stars I've never heard of, or there's a lot of other people, who sit on the couch, and they all look at these videos of people trying to maim themselves in all sorts of ways, some deliberately, some not. And despite the fact that MTV has a disclaimer saying, don't try this at home, it just keeps on running and running and running. And as a matter of fact, there's going to be like two spinoffs, one called Messiness, dealing with food, and another one also coming up in the upcoming weeks. It's time for all of them to go. The show has just not there. It's terrible. It's an awful show. It's one of the worst shows on television, and it gives MTV a bad name, really no name. So point number one, take ridiculousness out the door. And while we're at it, let's go to point number two. Stop the reality. Stop reality shows. It is time to get rid of all the Jersey Shore spinoffs and Florida Ida and all those other shows. Or Mob Wives. Goodbye. Reality has no place on this network. A show like The Real World did because you had people in the music field who were involved. And it also dealt with the people in the MTV generation. These shows don't. Frankly, I am sick and tired of Snooki. I'm sick and tired of the situation in any iteration whatsoever. It is time to get reality out the door, along with ridiculousness and those spinoffs. Point number three, get back to music. Make MTV a music-oriented network again. And if you don't want to do it with music videos, although I think you ought to, do it with all types of music programming. And have DJs again. Why not? Let's get the next generation of DJs up and running. Put them on. Let's see the new Martha Quinn. Let's see the new Alan Hunter. The new Mark Goodman. The new J.J. Jackson. Bring them on. And have them showcase all sorts of music programming, music videos, short subjects about the making of videos, short subjects about the latest stars. And while we're at it, how about showcasing all kinds of music? You know, don't just let it be pop and rock or heavy metal. How about soul? How about jazz? How about Tejano? How about other Latin pop forms, K-pop, world music, folk music? Bring all the music genres around. Have MTV become a home for all music genres. Give them great showcases. Do short subjects. Show videos. Do countdowns. Have hosts, a wide variety of hosts. Get back to music, music, music. Do game shows like Name That Tune. Make it Name That Video. VH1 did it, almost with a hit, could do it again. Make shows that are music-oriented. Make videos that are music-oriented. Be wide. Cast a wide net. Get back to the roots of what made MTV great, which was the music and the ability on any given hour to see brand new stars or to see the latest from the great stars, past and current. Point four, get the best features of MTV back and refresh them. Let's get this century's version of Yo MTV Raps, this century's version of MTV Unplugged, this century's version of 120 Minutes, this century's version of Headbangers Ball. Refresh them. Put them all over the schedule. Do them up. Do them up great. Bring back Total Request Live. Make the shows interactive and fun. Bring out the best features from Mothballs. That's what Paramount Plus did with another one of MTV's great shows in the past, Behind the Music, which premiered a couple of weeks ago. But don't do it for Paramount Plus. Do it for MTV. Give MTV as big a music identity as possible, and why not do it with some of the features we all grew up and love in new formats, in refreshed formats. Five, go live whenever possible and be interactive. Wouldn't you have liked to have seen live coverage of Lollapalooza a week ago in Chicago, or Coachella, or the Essence Music Festival every year in New Orleans, or rock concerts from all over the world? Make MTV the home, the source of live music programming. Other places aren't doing it. Vivo's not doing it. Live X Live is the only one I know that's out to do it. Why not MTV? You have the circulation on cable and satellite. Do live programming. Do live concerts. Do live music festivals. And when you do them live, do them interactive. Encourage people to call in and request their favorite songs, let's say. You know, A&E, back in the 1990s, did a great series of specials called Live by Request, which had people like Michael Bolton and Tony Bennett and Bee Gees take music, had a concert with a live audience here in New York. It was put together at Sony Studios on West 55th Street, and it was all requests, or mostly requests, from viewers who called in, sent emails, or used their computer. Why not have the live by request format again? Wouldn't you like to see Stevie Wonder or Billy Joel or Elton John or Phil Collins, or Cher, or some of the newest star, or a K-pop star, do songs by request and talk to people live on the phone or using Alexa, Siri, etc.? Do smart TV sets and smart devices? How about it? Be the home of live programming. Be interactive. Nothing to lose and everything to gain. And there are a lot of music festivals out there with top stars. And now that we are licking this pandemic, and places like Jones Beach Theater and Madison Square Garden and Barclays Center here in New York City and places all over the country are now back in action, in Miami, in New Orleans, in Texas, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in Seattle, in Chicago, Indianapolis, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. Go there. Make music happen. Make live events happen. Give people an incredible joy of watching live music events again. And finally, point number six, do scripted, unscripted shows that are music-oriented. Remember how we all liked Nashville on ABC, and when ABC took it off with Connie Britton's great performance and Hayden Panettiere, they moved it to TMT for two seasons, which, by the way, was a Viacom-owned network, and I believe still owned by Viacom-CBS. How about doing scripted and unscripted shows and made-for-TV movies about musical talent? How about a Monkees-type show We haven't had that in a long time. Remember the Monkees back in the late 60s? One of the few, by the way, pop-oriented, music-oriented comedy shows that won an Emmy for Best Comedy Series. And if you think about it, it was one of the first television series to use music videos to illustrate the great pop songs of the Monkees. What about a new comedy, a Monkees-type comedy that uses current technology to have fun with the music? Or a scripted series about the making and the joys and ups and downs of a rock band on the road? What about a Route 66-type show about two musicians going from place to place and finding cultures all over the United States? Unscripted series like Bands on the Run. Remember that show on VH1, which should have been an MTV series? From the same people who gave us The Real World, Magical Elves? And how about that? Why don't we get, by the way, some of the production companies that worked with MTV in the past and bring them back to do new shows for that network, scripted and unscripted, that are music-oriented? How about an American Idol-type show or America's Got Talent show, MTV-style, and game shows? Remember we had Hip Hop Squares and Nashville Squares on the Hollywood Squares format? Bring those back and make them for a more general audience or a fun audience. I'll tell you, remember we had a couple years ago, BET did American Soul about Don Cornelius and the making of Soul Train. I still have yet to see the scripted television series about the making of American Bandstand and the rise and incredible career of Dick Clark. That would be a fun scripted series to see. And trust me, American Bandstand has a great, great iconic history behind it that could be tapped beautifully for a scripted show or an unscripted show. Or, for example, remember the local dance shows of the 1960s? Like the Clay Cole Show here in New York on WPIX? Or shows out of Los Angeles, Lloyd Thaxton Show in Los Angeles, Casey Kasem's show? His dance show, which featured a lot of top talent today, bring that back in scripted or unscripted form. There's so much rich material that I think would draw an audience. The bottom line is this. MTV can be great again. It's not too late to bring revival to MTV and make it a great network again. And it's time for ViacomCBS, its parent company, to put the effort in and turn MTV back into its great self. It can be done. The people are out there. The talent is out there to make it happen. And I believe it will start if you get rid of all those reality shows and rededicate the network to music, 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 music. After all, it is still known as MTV Music Television. It can happen. The talent is there. And with all the technology now, music videos can take a leap to the next level. And so can live concert coverage. And so can scripted and unscripted shows. And so can the best of what made MTV great. And it has to start with the commitment of ViacomCBS to make MTV great again. So what do you think about my game plan? I'd love to hear from you. We still have a few minutes to go before our hour is up. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, 646-652-2906. So use our chat room, Time and Apple 04. But I want to hear what you have to say. What's your game plan? I'd love to hear. And by the way, for all you MTV fans out there, if you want to see MTV get back on the road to greatness, let ViacomCBS know. Let them know you care about this network. And guess what? We have a call. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philly.
Hi, Rick. Good to have you aboard from the City of Brotherly Love. So what do you think about this game plan for MTV?
Well, first, I kind of have a question for you because while you were talking, I went through their TV schedule, and it is kind of ridiculous how much ridiculousness is on. I mean, it's on every day, all day, and this is going all the way through the week. It's not just like a towards the weekend thing or something. So my question for you is whether you know or not, like, I guess they're making money with this show. It must just be so cheap and easy to put on, and people must watch it, that it's just a money machine.
I don't know how much of a money machine it is, Rick, but you're right. It is cheap and easy to put on. And frankly, MTV never says how much of an audience they get. But you're right. It is like morning, noon, and night. 2 years ago, I did a little commentary about it on this program, and I said, it's time to get this show off the air because it is giving MTV a below-the-bad name.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're definitely not trying to be prestige at all, and especially because a lot of the guests that you have on or showrunners or network executives, I'm guessing the people that they have there right now don't really – care, I guess, maybe about their future careers or something, like, you know, because how can you move on to another job later on if all you're doing is showing reruns of the same singular show? It's not even like the same 10 shows. It's literally like one or two shows that they're airing at this point all week. It's just very strange to me. And you have some great ideas, of course, but like some of the ideas, like filming concerts and things, I think are probably pretty expensive unless they team up with the actual concert promoters, and that's what I'm really shocked at, that like the record labels aren't involved in trying to put shows on. Like literally the record labels could produce and create the show and air it for free, like just to get their bands out there and their artists out there. So I'm really surprised that like, you know, like a Live Nation, the concert company doesn't just film certain shows themselves and put it on just to help their brand and help reading that a lot of the concerts are only half full nowadays, you know, of course, because of COVID and whatnot, but still, you know, people haven't been going to concerts for a long time. So there's a lot of that brand that needs to rebuild, not just on TV, but in the concert industry and with record labels. And MTV, I mean, really made that blossom back in the day. And so I guess my point is that because MTV doesn't have anything to do with music anymore, and almost no one does on cable television, that it's hurt several other industries. It's hurt the touring industry. It's hurt record labels and such. And now it's just a minuscule. People have to go to YouTube or Twitch to watch a lot of like live streamed concerts and DJ events and stuff like that. So I do think you have a lot of great ideas on that front, but I don't know the answer.
Yeah. And by the way, Vevo has become like the home of music videos because MTV left them. And there's also Live by Live and some other networks that are doing, for example, niche videos in niche or like Latino music or rock or soul, et cetera. And it's like MTV has this incredible library of material. Plus they have, I'm sure, the musical contacts still around. They still do the Video Music Awards every year. It'll be coming up, by the way, I believe at the end of the month. And also they still have, you know, companies that they work with like Buna Murray, which put together The Real World, that I'm sure would love to do, to bring back a concept like 120 Minutes or Headbangers Ball. Or maybe work on a game show like Remote Control and freshen it up and make it more music-oriented. There's like so much they could tap from. And, again, I think it's up to Viacom-CBS to make the commitment. By the way, Viacom-CBS already made this commitment to do 100 made-for-TV movies, 50 of them doing work by people of color. Why not have some of those movies be MTV-oriented, music-oriented movies, biopics, or showcase like stories about music we don't know? Like the making of, I'd love to know about the making of Genesis, or how Phil Collins got to be where he is, or Billy Joel got to be where he is. It's rich material, and I'm sure they have the production contacts to make it happen. And again, I think it's Viacom's, CBS's call to put upon themselves to make MTV great again, as opposed to just taking MTV content like Behind the Music and turning around for Paramount Plus. I think both can be done.
Yep, I absolutely agree. I think probably they have to at some point just do some sort of relaunch, kind of go back to the future and do some of their old shows, maybe in some new ways. recreations of especially like remote control on the game shows were awesome. They want so many careers that it's amazing that they don't just do it again.
Yeah. What about
Plus,
Chris Hardwick, for example?
Shows,
you know, Chris got his start on MTV with Singled Out. Now he's doing The Wall with LeBron James on NBC. Bring Chris Hardwick back to do a show. He'd be great on the music-oriented show. You know, his show that he did at midnight for Comedy Central was hysterical. Bring, like, people, like, make a music-oriented comedy show kind of thing. Why not? He'd be great.
Yeah, and Adam Sandler started on Remote Control. He was one of the character actors on there. It was like Opera Man or something. Yeah, and that was all before he was on Saturday Night Live. So, you know, and he's like probably a billionaire at this point. He's one of the most powerful people in the industry. So, you know, if he can't do it, then there must be something just behind, I don't know. There's kind of like bargain bin entertainment at this point. But I hope they do something. You know, they can involve me too. Both of us. We can go help run
the
network.
Yeah, I hope so too. And by the way, Ed Bastian from Viacom CBS, if you're thinking about this, let us know. We'll put you on the air. We'd love to have you aboard. Rick, thanks so much for the feedback and the thoughts. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Simon. Have a great weekend.
You too. The very best. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And before we wrap things up again, like we did at the start of the week, we want to thank you and you and you and you and you and especially you for being with us these first 14 years on Tomorrow Be Televised and kicking off year 15. We really, really appreciate you. If you like our show, tell a friend. Be involved with our show. Be interactive with us. Use our phone line. Use our chat room. Get your thoughts in and spread the word. And check us out also on podcasts and on a brand-new website, Tomorrow Be Televised at podsite.podsite.io. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will talk about the Olympics. We hope to have a guest for you talking about how NBC did with the Olympics and what is the future of Olympic television. What did we learn about these last 2 weeks and where the Olympics on TV will go? And don't forget, next Friday, among our guests, we'll have the executive producer and director of HEAL, the new Stars series about the world of wrestling, Peter Siegel, and the son of Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, Rod Roddenberry. He will be our final guest on our episode 1 week from today, either at 3 p.m. Eastern or 4 p.m. Eastern, noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Check out our replay at blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast available at Apple Podcasts, also at Burble, Amazon Music, the iRadio Podcast Network. And we'd love to hear from you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, brand-new classic trivia question and prize on Monday's show as well. And don't forget, you can also find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. And whatever you have to say, we get the communication, we communicate back. Why? Because what you say matters, now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. I don't say those of Blog Talk Radio and other streams of this program. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. Website services provided by PodSite, the new internet avenue for podcasts. For more details, go to podsite.io. Our web coordinator is Gintaris Vatris. Tomorrow Be Televised, brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week and weekend. Back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and our podcast sites, including the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe and make it great. If you haven't gotten your vaccine yet, get in touch with your doctor, find out where you stand medically, and then make the great choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.